Good morning. As Chip mentioned, I am not feeling well. I have a virus, so that's why I'm a little standoffish. not exactly cheerful today. Please don't take it personally. I would love to greet every one of you and hug you, but I do want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I hope that you have a great time with your friends and your family and the people that you get to spend the next few days with. Remember that we are here to celebrate Christ and what He's done. And over the last week and this week, we've been talking about it, and I've introduced this idea of God incarnate, which is comes from the Latin term meaning to put on flesh. And why is that important to us as believers? Why is this idea that Jesus is God, which we talked about last week, but He was also man, why is that even important? Why do we celebrate Christmas anyway? And so this morning I want to take us to a passage in Romans. I know that's not a traditional Christmas passage, but if you go to Romans chapter 8, I want to talk about the idea that Jesus, the purpose that He came. That He came as the sin slayer. That He came so that He could conquer death and the grave, and that He can set us free. And so I want to look through these verses this morning. I want to pull out three aspects of Jesus being the fact that He is the sin slayer and what that means for you and I. So I want to just jump into it. I'll read Romans 8, 1 through 8, and then we'll pull out these aspects and we'll share the Lord's Supper together, okay? It says this. It says, therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending His own Son in flesh, like others under sin's domain, and as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit about the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God, because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We're going to go to verse 11. Since the Spirit of God lives in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through the Spirit who lives in you. There's a lot going on in these verses. And we don't have time this morning to really unpack all of them. But I do want to pull out these three ideas or these three reasons why Jesus became human. It's not that He wanted to try things out. It's not that He wanted to visit Earth in a human body. It's not that He wanted to leave His dominion because it was just the cool thing to do. Why does Jesus become human? And I want to give you three reasons. The first reason is this: to deal with sin. To deal with sin. It says, therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, in verse 1. It's interesting He uses the word now. A lot of times that's a throwaway word for us. It's a transitional word. Like, I was talking about that, but now I'm going to talk about this. But I want you to underline that word if you write in your Bible or highlight it, and realize this is not just a term that we throw away, but is it a temporal term where Paul is saying at this time, at this moment, in this aspect of our lives, now that Christ has come, since he came right now in this time period, we can have no condemnation. You say, what am I condemned for? What did I do? Why would I have condemnation to begin with? We have condemnation because we are sinners. And God tells us to do things. God commands us to do different aspects of life. And he calls us to obedience and revolt. And he says, because of that, we are condemned to death by our sin. But Paul tells us, hey, now, right now, not later, not in a time to come, not just in the first century, but right now, you can have no condemnation in Christ. Right now. He has come to set the slave free. I used to not like Christmas songs, but then I started listening to them. Some would call me a Grinch, my wife particularly. I don't get into all the decorating and stuff. She does violently. I just despised it all. And then I would listen to them more and more, and especially the old songs, like we sung this morning. Most of them don't just talk about Jesus being born. They talk about why he was born. They talk about the fact that he came to die, to bring freedom, for the enslaved to be released. So we don't just come to the law by ourselves and say, God, I got this figured out. Say, I'll just be good enough. I'll be nice enough. And if that's the case, then God, you will love me. And the fact is, we can never be good enough. We can never be nice enough. We can never give enough money. We can never do enough good deeds. We can never do anything that God will say, hey, man, you get a gold star today. But rather, it's because of Christ and the fact that he dealt with sin. But why did he need to deal with sin? Or how did he do it? He comes as a slave offering or as a sin offering. If we look in verse 3, he says, what the law could not do since it was limited by the flesh, God did. Paul's saying, look, no matter how good you were, no matter how good I am, no matter what my resume looks like, no matter what my giving looks like, no matter what anything, how good I've been, how much good I've done, no matter what I've done, I couldn't do it. And Paul actually has a pretty, pretty nice resume. He says you couldn't do it. It's limited by the flesh. And what was limited by the flesh, which is getting ourselves right with God, God does it. That's the beauty of Christmas, that God visits man and redeems us because we can't do it ourselves. We are condemned in our flesh because we're under sin's domain. And Jesus comes as a sin offering. Now, you got to understand the Old Testament sacrificial system. When you did something wrong, you had to pay for that. You had to not just ask forgiveness, but you had to make things right. So if you stole someone's donkey, you wouldn't just say, I'm sorry. You would have to give that donkey back. If that donkey died because you stole it, you would have to replace that donkey. And so the same concept shifts over into what you and I do. When we do something wrong to God, we've got to say, not just I'm sorry, but we've got to make it right. The problem is we can't make it right. Because what we can't do in our flesh, which is make it right, God makes it right. How did he do it? Jesus became the offering. Jesus became the way in which we make things right with God. So not only does he come to deal with sin, not only does he come to be a sin offering, he also came so that you can welcome the Spirit. Don't miss this aspect. Toward the end of the passage, it says, in verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to him. One of the reasons Jesus came is to sanctify us, which means to make us right, to make us clean, to make us where we can approach God. But the really cool thing is not only does he make us where we can approach God and make us justified, make us right with God because of his sin offering. When we repent, which means to turn away from our sin, to turn away from what we're doing, to say, I'm not going to act that way anymore. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to submit my desires and my passions and my wants to him. I become a child of God. God himself indwells us in the form of the Holy Spirit. No other religious system, no other thought system, no other way of trying to understand God talks about us having God within us. Only Christianity. Judaism doesn't talk about God indwelling you. Islam doesn't talk about God indwelling you. In Buddhism, God does not indwell you. But in Christianity, Jesus comes. He dies a horrible death, which was prophesied in the Old Testament. He comes to fulfill the Old Testament. He dies a death. He comes as the seed of David, which was promised. But not only does he die a death, but he is buried. And after he's buried, on 3 days later, he raises up, which is the wonderful story of Easter. And after he's raised up, he ascends to the Father. And the promise is that one day he's coming back for those who love him. And every Christmas, I like to look forward to Easter. Because why does Jesus come? Jesus comes as a baby because he once comes as a human, yet is divine. And he comes so that he can pay the price of sin and death. And he becomes victorious so that you and I can be victorious. Verse 11 says, and his Spirit indwells us and gives us the hope that one day we too will be raised again. That's good news. That's good news. So this morning, I want us to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. I'm not going to officiate it because of all this stuff going on. I've asked our discipleship pastor, Chip, to officiate it, so I'm not touching stuff. You can thank me later. But I want to transition to that time right now. We're gonna sing a couple more songs together. We're gonna celebrate what God did in through his birth and because of his birth, because he came, he in flesh, and he died for us. So as the group comes and they begin to play music, I'm invite the deacons to come on up and begin to prepare the table. And if you would take a few moments to spend time with God. Do you need to ask for forgiveness for something going on in your life? Do you need to thank him that he came as a baby so he could die as an adult and we can celebrate him? I think Christmas should always look to Easter. So this morning we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And we practice what's called close, C-L-O-S-E, close fellowship. Which means if you've been baptized, if you're a Christian, you've been baptized, we invite you to take the Lord's Supper with us. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't even have to be Southern Baptist. But we want you to take it with us if you want to. If you don't, just pass it on. No big deal. Nobody's offended. I want to pray for us. And as I pray, I hope that you spend some time with God, thanking him that he came as a child, that he gave his life for us, that he submitted to the will of the Father for God's glory and for our salvation. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can celebrate who you are and what you've done. And Father, this morning as we look at your birth, we look forward to your cross, knowing that you came to deal with our sin, you came to be our sin offering, and you came so that we can be indwelt with the Spirit of God. We thank you for that. We thank you that we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We pray that you would be honored this morning. And in your name we pray. Amen.